Attorneys for both sides, riled by Scott's testimony, replies cause lively tilts. Atlanta Constitution, August 1, 1913. When court convened on Thursday morning, J.M. Gant, formerly employed in the bookkeeping department of the National Pencil Factory, was placed on the stand for two questions, and he was followed by Harry Scott, Pinkerton detective, who worked as a partner of John R. Black of the city detectives in searching for the murder of Mary Fagan. Solicitor Hugh Dorsey had Gant swear that he was arrested on April 28th and hold until the following Thursday. During Scott's testimony, there were lively tilts of all sorts. At one time, Scott became angry with the solicitor and asked him if he were accusing him of withholding evidence, and Dorsey declared that Scott had entrapped him by promising to swear one thing on the stand and then by refusing to swear it. A moment later, the defense was in a rage when Scott swore that Herbert Haas, one of Leo Frank's counsel, had ordered him to furnish to the defense the evidence he might obtain before giving it to the police. Luther Rosser, another of Frank's attorneys, then tried to show that he had not been concerned in this, and when this was not held admissible, he burst out with the statement, "There's certainly no one here who believes that I had anything to do with this." Scott declared he told Haas, in the presence of Rosser and Sig Montag, that before the Pinkertons would do as he asked, that they would quit the case. In the formal examination, the first question asked by the solicitor was, "How long have you known Frank?" "Employed by Frank." "Since I first saw him on April 28th, the Pinkerton man replied. "By whom were you employed in the Fagan murder?" "By Frank, representing the National Pencil Company." "Where did you see him?" "In his office in the pencil factory. He called me in his private office for a conference." "What did he say?" asked the solicitor. "He told me about the crime and stated that he and the directors of the company had decided that the public demanded a thorough investigation to find the murderer. Then he said he had just left police station and that Detective Black seemed to suspect him." "Then," continued the detective, "he outlined to me his own movements on that Saturday, stating that he had come to the factory at 8 o'clock, had gone to Montag Brothers' place about 9 with Darley, and came back to the factory about 11 o'clock. He then said," Scott went on, "that Mrs. White, wife of J.A. White, who was at work upstairs, had come in just before noon and asked permission to go up and see her husband. Paid off in private office. Mary Fagan came in and drew her pay at 10 minutes after 12, according to what Frank said, and he paid her $1.20, giving her 2 halves and he thought 2 dimes, continued Scott. "And then he said that the Fagan girl was paid off in his private office at his desk, and that as she went out, she stopped in the outer office and called back to know if the medal had arrived yet. Frank declared he told the girl that he did not know about the medal, and then as she went on out, he thought he heard voices, but could not tell whose they were. He then said that at about 12:30, he went up and told Mrs. White that he was about to close up the factory and that she had best leave, and that Mrs. White told him of seeing a Negro behind some boxes on the first floor." "Frank said he left at about 12:50, Scott went on, "and that he went home and was back at the factory at 4 o'clock when Newt Lee came, and that he sent Lee out to have a good time and told him to come back at 6. Frank then told that Lee came back at 6, and that a few minutes afterwards he went out and saw Lee sitting on a box and talking to Gant. Tried to call factory. Gant, Frank said, was a former bookkeeper who had been discharged for thieving," Scott stated. "And then Frank said he got home by 20 minutes after 6, and worrying about Gant's presence, tried to call the factory at 6:30. Frank told me he tried and tried the telephone, and finally got the number at 7 o'clock, and asked Lee if Gant had gone and if everything was all right. Lee answered in the affirmative, according to Frank," said the Pinkerton man. "And Frank then said that at 9 o'clock he took a bath and went to bed. After that, Frank and Darley and I went through the factory and the various details were explained to me. I was shown the place where the hair had been found and the place where some dark spots had been chipped out, and there was a white substance around the place. I then examined the time clock and then went to the basement and was shown where the body had been found and also the hat and shoe. Darley did most of the explaining on this trip, and Frank had been the spokesman in the office. How did Frank act in his office? He seemed perfectly natural, replied the witness. What do you mean by perfectly natural? Interrupted Rosser, for the defense. He wasn't nervous, said Scott. Was he nervous or not later? Nervous while at station. Yes, he was nervous at the police station when we were talking about Lee. How did he breathe in the office? Occasionally, he seemed to take a long breath, said Scott. Was Frank accurate and specific as to time in describing to you his actions on that Saturday when the girl is supposed to have been killed? Asked Dorsey. On Attorney Rosser's objection, this was ruled out. What did his eyes look like? Continued the solicitor. Large and piercing. What kind of breaths did he take? Deep sighs, said Scott. How often? 4 or 5 times while in the office. How large did his eyes look then? Same as now. How about his complexion? He was a little pale then. What, if any, pauses did he make? Asked Dorsey. That's a leading question, snapped Rosser. How did Frank give his narrative, and was he rapid in speech and specific in regard to time? The solicitor went on without the other question being answered. Mr. Rosser objected to the use of the word specific and declared that Frank had always used the word about in referring to the time of his movements. What else was said in the conversation? Asked Dorsey. Nothing more that I recall, reported to Haas and Rosser. Did you or did you not make reports or statements to the defendant of what you did? Asked Dorsey. I made them to Herbert Haas, Luther Rosser, and Sig Montag, Scott declared. I grant that he furnished them, injected Rosser, but the fact that he did doesn't make it admissible. Did the Pinkertons give Frank's counsel reports? Continued the solicitor. Yes. Give them to the state. I don't know. Did Frank say he heard the voices in the hall about noon that Saturday, before or after noon? Scott was allowed to refer to his notes and started reading from them when Rosser stopped him. You must not necessarily read what the notes say, but what your mind says after refreshing it by means of the notes, ruled Judge Roan. Frank said he heard the voices after noon, said Scott. What did Frank tell you he did at home after he left the factory at lunchtime? Asked Dorsey. He did not say. Did he tell you he ate lunch? No. Frank's references to Gant. What, if anything, did Frank tell you about Gant?
He stated in the first conversation, said Scott, that Gant knew Mary Fagan very well and was intimate with her.
Did he say how he knew this?
No.
Did Frank say anything about Gant's attentions to Mary Fagan?
Not that I recall.
May I refresh the mind of the witness? Asked the solicitor, turning to Judge Roan. Attorney Rosser entered an objection.
Your Honor, said Mr. Dorsey rather hotly, it is in your direction to allow me to lead a witness, and if there ever was a time when a witness needs to be led, this is one, this detective in the employ of the defense.
Scott becomes angry.
You don't mean to intimate that I'm holding anything back, Scott exclaimed angrily. The state has been trapped, said Mr. Dorsey amid a general murmur from Rosser and Scott, and for a moment things looked black. The witness told me something and now he don't seem to remember it, Mr. Dorsey continued, and I'm not trying to impeach him, I'm simply trying to refresh his memory, he added, as his colleague, Frank Hooper, whispered something to him.
Mr. Dorsey said 3 times that he had been trapped by Scott, Rosser interrupted. And now after Hooper has talked to him, he's changed. Hooper's a wise man.